this is totally not Danzig, and you're listening to the Shred Shack.
Greetings, folks. I'm Dan Mack.
And this is Chris Mack.
Welcome you to episode 214 of the Shred Shack Podcast, your premier source of news and uninformed yet heavily biased opinions pertaining to all things heavy metal, coming to you bi-weekly through practically any streaming service. Let's get started with Previously On.
So, previously on, we had talked about a bunch of stuff, especially in our discussion. And so I went ahead and I went back and I listened to a bunch of the bands that I was making a list as we're going. I listened to a bunch of the bands that we talked about. So first off, in the last podcast, we had mentioned that the longtime drummer of the band Helix had passed away. And we're like, we don't know much about Helix. So I went ahead and listened to them, and they are, you know, solid old school heavy metal, you know, very much in a vein of like, not like an Iron Maiden, because they don't have like dueling guitars, but like a lot of like big gang vocal type stuff, big choruses, good riffs, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, solid stuff. Nothing I would probably go out of my way to listen to again, but I'm glad that I did listen to it the first time. We'd also talked about Raven in our discussion of some of the top albums, 500 albums. So I listened to some Raven. I just put them on. I just went to their Spotify page and I just put, you know, random. They're another old school, like kind of like thrash band. They've been more active in the last few years. You can see why they were influential and why they were important at the time. Like, you know, Metallica was opening up for Raven before they were Metallica. And you can see where the influence was and see where, like, what could have been. And again, they had like maybe two or three albums in the 80s. They went away for a long time, and then they started coming back in like in the 2000s, and they've been more active in the last 10 to 12 years, 10 to 15 years, than they were back in the 80s. So we have mentioned Nevermore. So I listened to, you know, the classic Dead Heart and a Dead World, and then it went to Random after that. And that is just a band that is not talked about enough. I know Warl Dane had passed away, and he has such a unique voice. Jeff Loomis playing guitar in that band. What a fucking great band. My God, what an experience. And the last band I got a chance to listen to was The Cult. So I listened to Sonic Temple, which was the album that was on the list. That was so good. So good.
Yeah.
It was such a good record. And then I also went ahead and listened to Beyond Good and Evil, which is like the only other Cult album that I know. And that's another band that they're just not talked about enough. They are really fucking good. Ian Astbury's voice is so good. The music is great. They definitely fly too far under the radar, as far as I'm concerned. I think they deserve a lot more credit and praise than they get. So my other bands I have on my list from previously on, things that I'm gonna be following up on in the next couple of weeks: Prong, Voivod, Bathory, Wasp, King's X, My Dying Bride, and just because I haven't listened to him enough, I threw Zappa in there too.
Nice. Very nice.
So, yeah. So those are my targets for the next couple weeks.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm working my way through the stuff I got from Nuclear Blast for Black Friday. So I went to listen to Cradle of Filth, Existence is Futile. Didn't fully finish it, but I love the album. I listened to Killer Be Killed. That was great. Especially the opening track. Peter Gabriel in there. What else? I listened to two recent releases, one of which is Blaze Bailey for last week. His new album, Circle of Stone, came out, which is really good. Kind of a little more rock vibed than his normal heavier stuff. So it seemed like a little bit more fun, which is weird to say, but great record. And I listened to half of the new Dickinson record, which came out today.
Yes, so, that's on the queue. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, I didn't realize it was coming out today, so I started listening to it, and of course I ordered it to arrive. So had to have a physical copy of it. So so still working my way through that for right now, but not getting through very many specifics lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you've been listening to?
Well, I mean, let's go through our new releases, because that was the previously on stuff. So let's get to new releases for the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Going to go through the band names, the album title, and thumbs up, thumbs down, as per usual. Maybe some notes here and there. So let's get with Bokassa, B-O-K-A-S-S-A. I'm going to stick with that. Their album, All Out of Dreams, the thumbs up. Farsat, Life Promised Death, thumbs up. Ishan, his self-titled album, double thumbs up. Badass. Samael released a live album. They played their album Passage in full. That was a thumbs up. Wichorius was a thumbs up, a self-titled record. Far Beyond, End of My Road was a thumbs up. Illumishade, Another Side of You, thumbs up. Band called See You Next Tuesday, their album called Relapses. That was a meh for me. Kind of like, eh. Mm-hmm. The Obsessed, fucking Wino, released a new record called Gilded Sorrow. That was a thumbs up. And Hans Zimmer released the Dune Part 2 soundtrack, and that was a double thumbs up. That's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Amaranth's new album, This Catalyst, is a thumbs up. There's a collab here with a band called The Body and another band called Disfig, and they're collab is called Orchids of a Futile Heaven. That was a thumbs up. Borknagar, new record called Fall. Double thumbs up. Solid. Darkest Hour, Perpetual Terminal is a thumbs up. Job for a Cowboy, Moon Healer, thumbs up. Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum. This is the band name, Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum. And their album is called Of the Last Human Being, and that was a thumbs up. Monkey 3, Welcome to the Machine, double thumbs up. Ectomorph, Vivid Black was a meh. And Atoll, Inhuman Implants, was a thumbs up.
Okay, so yeah. a lot of thumbs up right there.
Yeah, a lot of thumbs up. I mean, again, things that I'll probably be revisiting will be, I think I listened to Ishan a couple times. Mm-hmm. I want to re-listen to Borknagar, the Dune soundtrack. I've listened to endlessly already. And Monkey 3, that was really good. I really liked the Monkey 3 record.
Very cool. All right. Anything else?
Well, that's it. I mean, if you want to talk about like what else I've been listening to, you know, my normal rotation of gym stuff, which is like Sleep Token and Unleash Your Archers. I threw in the Periphery Clear EP from a couple of years ago in there. Randomly listened to Peter Gabriel's So. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, my instrumental stuff, listening to, like, it's instrumental prog metal in the gym when I'm reading, and it's also, and then it's just, like, fucking classical music when I'm reading at home, you know, just something I can ignore, so.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, that's about it.
Okay, cool. In that case, let's go on to general news.
Yeah, and this is a free-flow episode because I haven't had a chance to touch the script. So I have Blabbermouth opened up, and I'm scrolling through. And so far, it's been a lot of fucking just, like, videos and this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to keep on scrolling through, and then I will mention things as they come up. Sepultura's Andreas Kisser celebrates 4 years of sobriety. Congratulations.
Very nice for him.
Let's see. Def Leppard Photography Rough Mix. That's all right. Photograph Rough Mix. Okay. Please, Bailey. Oh, okay. Black Country Communion announces five album. All right. Let's see what time when that's coming out. Now, for those who don't know, Black Country Communion is a supergroup featuring Glenn Hughes, Joe Bonamassa, Jason Bonham, and Derek Sherinian. They're going to release their new and their fifth studio album, Five, you know, Roman numeral V, on June 4th. So that's going to be cool.
Cool. Nice.
Hell yeah. Okay. Metallica and Blackened share crowd in a bottle episode of the Blackened Sessions. That's where they talk about writing music and making whiskey.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
We were mentioned a couple of episodes ago. Tesla's going to release a new single, All About Love, in the summer. Oh, here we go. Oh, Alex Van Halen Brothers. He has a book called Brothers coming out. The cover has been unveiled, apparently. See how that loads up. Anyway. Okay, so it's due in October. The 384-page book is categorized under biography and autobiography. Okay, so he shares his personal story of family, friendship, music, and brotherly love, and a remarkable tribute to his beloved brother and bandmate. Alex Van Halen, coming out in October.
All right. I mean, does the cover look cool?
It didn't come up, so I'm just like, whatever. Yeah. Okay. I'll get to it eventually. Let's see. Okay. Ronnie James Dio 2024 Rock for Ronnie benefit concert to be held in Woodland Hills.
Nice.
All right.
Very nice.
The Louis Breadlow Pavilion at Warner Center Park in Woodland Hills in California is the new site for the Rock for Ronnie concert. The fundraising benefit featuring the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. Set for Sunday afternoon, May 19th. Cancer charity designated this year as the Year of the Dragon celebration, a symbol closely associated with the late singer who succumbed to cancer. Wow, 2010. It's been fucking 14 years. Good grief.
Oh, since Dio died?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's been too long.
That's fucking crazy. I can't believe I can't believe that many years have passed since he fucking passed. That's insane.
Yeah. I think I read the news when I was at Caldwell.
I was going to say, we were working together, right, at that point?
Yeah, we were.
All right. Okay. Ooh, Nightwish completes work on 10th studio album. Hell yeah. See, we got a tentative date for that. Late 2024 date. All right. So maybe by the end of the year, we'll get some new Nightwish. Even though I know they're not touring for like 2 or 3 years. At least that's what Tomasa said. So that's cool. Exciting.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hopefully it's better than the last one.
the last one wasn't that great. The last one wasn't that great. I wasn't entirely happy with that one.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you also want to hear them without Marco. What are they going to do differently?
Interesting. Yes, that's a very good point. All right, so here's one of the main headlines from the last 2 weeks is that Slayer is reuniting.
Oh yeah.
After their farewell tour, they're announcing a couple of headlining festival dates. Here's one. Slayer, Iron Maiden, Motley Crue, Slipknot, Pantera, and Judas Priest set for 2024 Aftershock Festival. So Aftershock returns to Discovery Park in Sacramento, California on October 10th through the 13th for its 12th year with its biggest lineup yet. The four-day destination festival will feature the only U.S. festival show for Iron Maiden, the exclusive West Coast performance for Slayer, one of only three shows in nearly 5 years. Slipknot is one of the number one requested bands and the first Aftershock appearance for Motley Crue. Other artists include Evanescence, Breaking Benjamin, Stain, Fall in Reverse, Till Lindemann, Rise Against, Hailstorm, Seether, Dropkick Murphys, Foggy Molly, Mastodon, Anthrax, Architects, Tom Morello, Cypress Hill, Ministry, and many, many more.
Okay, that sounds like a pretty bitchin' show.
Yeah, I'm scrolling down a little bit further here. That was just in the paragraph of the article, and I'm looking at the list. You got Last one I mentioned was Ministry. Then you got fucking Darren Malakian and Scars on Broadway, Seven Dust, Insane Clown Posse, Static X,
Yeah.
Clutch, Body Count, fucking Poppy, I love her, Filter, Eagles of Death Metal, POD, Cold Chamber, Ginger, Bad Wolf, Shadows Fall, Fear Factory, what the fuck is going on here? Rival Sons, fucking Hawthorne Heights out of nowhere. From Ashes to New. Oh my god, this looks like my fucking iPod circa like 2003. It's crazy. Drowning Pool, Alien Ant Farm, Orgy, Edema, Power Man 5000, Taproot, Head PE, CKY. Ill Need. Oh my god, this list is forever. This list is insane. Wow. Crazy shit, dude. Crazy shit.
Damn.
Out of control. I mean,
yeah. I would never last.
There's four days. Each day has five different stages. It's wow. It's crazy.
Where is Aftershock again?
Where is Aftershock again? That is in Sacramento.
Jeez. And it's around my birthday.
I was gonna say it's just across, it's just like, you know, it's just the other half of the country, it's the other coast.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe. The Damned announces spring 2024 North American tour with return of drummer Rat Scabies. Metallica to perform as Elton John and Bernie Taupin receive 2024 Gershwin Prize. Let's see what that's about. They are among the artists who will perform in honor of Elton John and Bernie Taupin as they receive the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for a popular song on Wednesday, March 20th. Let's see. That's not many details about it, but that's fine. That's cool. Metallica performing for Elton John. Awesome.
Nice.
Another band that's making a comeback here in 2024 is Power Trip after their frontman had passed away. They have announced a few summer shows. They announced two more performances in addition to last week's announcement that the Texas Thrashers would be returning to stage this summer, playing their first official gig since the tragic passing of frontman Riley Gale. Okay, so Power Trip's longtime friend and collaborator Seth Gilmore will be handling vocals on these forthcoming shows. Gilmore is embedded in Texas's hardcore and punk communities and is well known as a vocalist of Scourge and as the frontman of Dallas thrash metal band Fugitive, which he founded in 2021 alongside Power Trip guitarist Blake Ibanez. So they have three shows lined up. We got Pomona, California, Dallas, Texas, and New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
So Power Trip making a comeback.
Right on.
Sebastian Bach announces the 2024 What Do I Got to Lose tour.
Next up, the 2025 tour, Everything.
True. Let's see what we got here as far as dates go. He's got a bunch of, we got Florida, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Mexico, back up into the States with Florida. Oh, this is a long ass tour. Good for him. Jesus. It starts in, he's got a show in February. Oh, okay. So he's from February to March. So he's on this right now. It's the 80s Cruise 2024 in Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. Then in April, he starts playing shows. May, like a string of shows in May, June, almost every day in June he's playing a show. And there is a San Antonio date at the Rock Box on June 23rd.
Very cool.
Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah. Good for him. Right. Def Leppard celebrates 40th anniversary of Pyromania with deluxe expanded edition. Oh, man. I'm not even going to look at that. Jesus.
No.
All right. Unfortunately, this is coming to the UK, but Soil announces fall 2024 UK tour with Head PE, Nonpoint, and the Union Underground. Jesus Christ, speaking of fucking iPods from like 2001.
I think what's worse about that is that Soil is playing the album Scars in its entirety. And I was like, oh. It's like the old days. when like we saw them with everybody, and they played all the same songs, but it was great every time.
It was like they were always the opener, or was it Into Eternity? Like Into Eternity opened like for everybody.
That was for like a lot of the heavier acts. Soil, yeah. Like when it came to nu metal, Soil was like the opening act for everybody.
Yeah, we saw them a lot.
Yeah.
Max Carolera says there's going to be no new Soulfly music before 2025.
Okay. So
we have to wait until at least next year for some new Soulfly records. Oh my gosh. Okay, so Edema abruptly, quote unquote, fired singer Ryan Shook. He joined the group in 2019.
Okay.
So on February 27th, Shook released the following statement. My time with Edema has abruptly come to an end. I want to thank the friends and fans who supported us during my time in the band over 4 years, hundreds of shows, two successful singles. I am beyond grateful for you. I will not be joining the band for the upcoming Josie Scott tour or any of the festivals we have booked so far this year. I'll see many of you on the Neon Chronicles tour with Juliet Priest, blah, 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 blah. Edema member just posted the following message. Edema has made a decision to move forward without Ryan Shook. Our plans continue on indefinitely as a four-piece, and we sincerely wish Ryan all the best in the future. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
No reason given, nothing. Crazy.
Doesn't sound like necessarily animosity. They just said it abruptly happens.
Yeah, it's like, you know, fuck this guy.
Okay, I'm sure more will come out about that. But
I'm sure.
Yeah.
As LA Dying announces a summer 2024 U.S. tour with Chelsea Grin and Entheos.
Boo. As
Dying's still a thing. They do have a second tour date here, August 4th at the Vibes Event Center.
Okay, great.
Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening. Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening announces spring 2024 North American tour. So that's, I'm sure, his tribute to his dad's band, and it's not coming to Texas at all. When they say North America, they mean North America, meaning Canada and fucking Minnesota. Tacoma, Washington. All right. They mean North. Ooh, Exodus to enter studio in May. Nice.
Nice.
Drummer Elroy Casagrande quits Sepultura to join, quote, another project. Big speculation here is that he's going to be the new drummer for first. What's that?
Oop, hang on. Yeah. Say something.
Oh, can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't hear you for a second. I think the cat kicked my mute button.
Oh, gotcha. So you want me to start again?
Yes.
All right. So drummer Elroy Casagrande has quit Sepultura to join, quote, another project. Speculation is that he is the front runner for the job in Slipknot.
Okay. That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah. Right? Okay, here we go. POD announces I Got That tour with Bad Wolves, Norma Jean, and Blind Channel. Let's see dates. Oh, look, another San Antonio date. May 31st. Vibes Event Center.
Okay.
Oh, the band Knocked Loose announced a new album, You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To, coming out on May 10th via Pure Noise Records.
Okay.
Infectious Grooves record first new song with ex-Slipknot drummer Jay Weinberg.
Nah, that's cool.
Yeah. Nemic reunites with original lineup for 20th anniversary shows.
I got into them.
I don't have any dates. That's fine. Journey announces fall 2024 tour of United Kingdom and Ireland. See if they got any opening acts here. Ah, yes. Cheap Trick. Cheap Trick will be opening up for Journey in the United Kingdom and Ireland.
Cheap Trick is kind of all over the place.
Right?
They're opening for Heart in the show scene.
Oh, nice. I hear you're taking Mom to that one.
Uh-huh.
Nice. Another episode of the Blacken thing, because we're starting from like most recent to, and we're going backwards, so like this is from 4 days ago. Another episode of the Blacken series with Metallica and the Whiskey Guys. Okay. We're getting to some scrolling here. Watch this guy perform this. KK Downing says this. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch this.
Watch entire Houston concert from Marty Freeman. You know. That would be a cool video to watch. It looks like there's a video out there of Pantera's Charlie Benanti and his drum kit rundown for the North American Stadium Tour with Metallica. So that would probably be fun. If you want to check that out. Okay. Plans approved for statue of Motorhead frontman Lemmy in his UK birthplace. That's exciting.
That is cool. That would be a. That would definitely be a thing I'd try to steal.
Cut the head off and put it in a double bag. Like what was that since this episode?
Just cut the mole off.
Nice. Hell yeah. Oh my gosh, Bruce Dickinson already has 10 to 12 different ideas for the follow-up to the Mandrake project, which came out today.
Yeah, and like, you know, he'll break them out in the next, like, when was the last album out? Fucking 19 years ago. Really? Was it 2000?
I don't know.
I think it was 2005, so 19 years ago. So if he takes 19 years to put out the next one, he can, you know, fucking call it a day.
What's it called? Pantera headlined Madison Square Garden for the first time just recently.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah. For real. Let's see what else we got here. King Diamond offers update on new music for Merciful Fate and his namesake band. Let's see what he has to say.
Ooh.
It's
not happening.
We're not supposed to play any show this year. We're very busy with Merciful Fate. Are writing new material. King Diamond is also preparing production for the upcoming new album's release and tour. The first. Okay, yeah. So he's going on and on and on. It looks like King Diamond is going to have some new music out relatively soon. When it's done, a new tour, that new King Diamond album. Okay, so it looks like King Diamond is going to have an album out and a tour. And then by the time he's done with that, Merciful Fate will have a new album ready to be released. So
okay,
pretty much back-to-back work from our good friend King Diamond.
Very cool.
August Burns Red announces Spring Fling 2024 tour. See who else is on this. Fuming Mouth will support. They're also going to be at the Sonic Temple and Welcome to Rockville festivals. And when they say tour, they mean a grand total of 7 dates in May. 2 of which are festivals. So,
all right.
Randy Blythe turned 53. Good for him.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, we talked about this. Nonpoint announces April, May, 2024 tour with Head PE. Oh, this is different. So it looks like Nonpoint is going out with Head PE and the Dropout Kings before their tour that we had just mentioned with, I guess, POD. Let's see. They have a San Antonio date here too, May 3rd at the Rock Box. Very cool. Good non-point stuff. Zach Wilde is open to making new music with Pantera, but says you would have to call it something else. So, I mean, that would be cool. Zach Wilde, Charlie Benanti, and the other guys from Pantera doing stuff under a different name. I can get behind that.
Just combine the two bands that previously existed. Call it like Danger Plantera.
Right.
Yeah,
or like Zach Terra X or something like that. Something. Apocalyptica have announced a follow up to their legendary debut album. Their debut album, of course, being Apocalyptica Plays Metallica. They are doing Apocalyptica Plays Metallica Volume 2, and they continue the journey that began in 1996 when they played symphonic tribute to the biggest of the four heavy metal titans, Metallica. For their ninth record, the classically minded, they're returning to the roots to bring a legendary story full circle. And they also feature a host of surprises, beginning with a unique collaboration. The lead single is going to be The Four Horsemen, a song that originally appeared on Kill 'Em All. And it's going to feature Metallica bassist Robert Trujillo setting the scene for a compendium of deep cuts and brilliant highlights. Whatever the fuck. Let's see if they got a track listing here. Oh, they do. They do. They do. They're going to do Ride the Lightning, Saint Anger, The Unforgiven 2, Blackened, The Call of Cthulhu, The Four Horsemen, Holier Than Thou, To Live Is to Die, and One.
All right. That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, that sounds interesting as shit. I'm looking forward to that one. I love that first one that came out, so it was, you know.
Yeah, they did a few other ones beyond that album, too, as far as Metallica goes, too.
Yeah. Linkin Park will release a Greatest Hits album, Paper Cuts, Singles Collection from 2000 to 2023 on April 12th via Warner. Okay, so yeah, it's going to include a song called Friendly Fire, which is a previously unreleased song recorded during the 2017's One More Light sessions. So that's cool.
Nice.
Oh, yes. Bullet for My Valentine and Trivium have revealed details of a huge joint arena tour at a press conference, blah, 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 blah. The Poisoned Ascendancy UK Tour 2025. We'll see both bands celebrating the 20th anniversaries of their respective iconic albums, playing them in full.
All right.
Dope. I would love to see Trivium play fucking Ascendancy in full. That'd be great.
Well, it's world tour, so they might come around here. Well,
this is the UK part, so they have grand total of 5 dates so far. So, and again, that's in 2025. So we'll see what happens for the rest of the world here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. More Apocalyptica news. Apocalyptica have parted ways with their longtime drummer, Miko Siren. Started performing live with Apocalyptica in 2003. But didn't become a full-time member of the band until 2005 after playing over 200 concerts and recording an album with the group.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you may have been seeing us playing without our drummer in Brazil and Mexico earlier, or have heard rumors of the effect. We are sorry to inform you that we have amicably parted ways with Miko after 20 years. Recording our forthcoming album was our last collective achievement. Okay. So it seems okay. You know, so...
No, I mean, in that case, it's a drummer.
Yeah. Billy Corgan to star a new unscripted series about his life. No, thank you.
Just go watch NWA.
Iron Maiden teams up with multiplayer action horror game Dead by Daylight for new collection. It looks like... let's see.
No, that's going to be fucking cool.
Okay. Multiplayer action horror game Dead by Daylight has teamed up with legendary heavy metal band Iron Maiden to bring their beloved figurehead Eddie to the game in an electrifying new collection.
That is awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see if there's any. Oh, this is too many words. Not enough quick details for me. Oh. Former Nightwish singer Annette Olsen announces third solo album, Rapture.
Cool.
That's cool. Yeah, let's see. No date. No date.
Okay.
But it's a single out. So if you want to check out a single, there's a single out right now. Oh my God. Mick Mars says he will write his biography when he is dying. And
Looks like he's
here's
on his way there.
I mean, dude, the picture of him right now is skeletal. It's not great. New Killswitch Engage album is almost complete, says Jesse Leach. I know he just recently finished recording his vocals for it.
Nice.
Man. News priest Rob Halford praises Sleep Token. They're a really curious band. All right. All right, so we got the Louder Than Life Festival here. Let's take a look at this, the lineup for this one. Take a look here. The return is for its 10th year, produced by Danny Wimmer Presents. We got Slayer, Motley Crue, Slipknot, and Korn. This is going to be in Louisville, Kentucky, September 26th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Let's see. All right, here we go. Slayer, Motley Crue, Slipknot, Korn, Disturbed, Judas Priest, Five Finger Death Punch, Evanescence, Fallen Reverse, The Offspring, Stain, Till Limit, In This Moment, Chevelle, Dropkick Murphys, Hailstorm, Gojira, Sum 41, Seether, Tom Morello, Anthrax, Mastodon, Clutch. Pretty much a good portion of the bands that we had already talked about on one of those other previous festivals. It's funny that these are like individual festivals, but they tend to be produced by the same group, and they have like the same bands. Like it's just funny that they do these, they consider these individuals and not like a touring festival, you know? But it's also probably spread out throughout the year because this one's in September, the other one was in like October, then there's like one in like May or something like that. So I guess that makes sense. All right, of course, the news. It's official. Slayer reunites, you know, for the first time in 5 years after their farewell tour. Okay. Ministry has a new album out that came out today, so I'll be checking that out, just so everyone knows that. Oh, and foreigners, Mick Jones reveals Parkinson's disease diagnosis. Yeah. Crazy. Valid Parkinson's disease. A 79-year-old musician who has not performed with Foreigner since 2022 opened up about his diagnosis in a social media post a couple days ago. That's a shame. Apocalyptica will be playing in Europe for the Plays Metallica Volume 2 2024 tour. That's in Europe. Trans-Siberian Orchestra guitar keyboardist Maestro Vitulu Caprigi, but he has passed away at the age of 49, unfortunately.
Damn, that's young.
Yeah, he played with progressive metal bands Artisan, Artension, and Ring of Fire, and he has toured with Trans-Siberian Orchestra. No cause of death has yet been released.
Damn.
How Tripp announced his person official comeback. We had already talked about that. There would definitely be a new Lamb of God record from John Campbell, the bassist. Oh my gosh. All right. Jethro Tull has announced the departure of guitarist Joe Parrish James. Parrish James will officially exit the band at the end of February to concentrate on his own band, Albion, which recently released a new album, Lake Song of Elbid. He will be replaced by Jack Clark, who previously played bass and second guitar for Tull at various live shows in the last couple of years.
Okay. Man, what if they're coming around here?
Good question. If we were doing a scripted show, this the Expendables fucking section would be pretty long.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters perform at Power to the Patience concert in Washington, D.C. Power to the Patients, a nonprofit fighting for a more affordable, accessible, and equitable healthcare system through true price transparency. Other performers at this will be Fat Joe and Chuck D.
Oops, Chuck D.
Right. Primus and Coheed and Cambria announced summer 2024 tour. That's a fucking show.
And they're not coming anywhere near us.
Yeah. Nowhere near here. I had already looked at that. Fortunately enough for me personally, I am seeing Coheed with Incubus in September. So, but I definitely, I want to see Primus in a much more personal setting, because the one time I've seen them, it was when they opened up for Tool at the AT&T Center, now known as the Frost Bank Center. And I felt that was just too big of a venue for them. I would much rather see them at like a fucking Aztec.
I gotcha.
AC/DC announces 50 limited edition gold colored vinyl, first wave to include 9 LPs. Crazy. Okay, Verbeat frontman Michael Polson's death metal project As in Hell announces spring summer 2024 European tour.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I still want to hear it.
Yeah, for sure. Alice Cooper announces Too Close for Comfort October 2024 UK tour.
Very nice.
John Schaefer to undergo medical procedure, sentencing delayed until April. Let's see what kind of nonsense we got talking about here. An undisclosed medical procedure with the need for recovery afterwards. Anything to delay sentencing, huh? Wow.
Pretty much.
Wow.
That's so long ago at this point.
Right. Another episode of Blackened is out. Again, we're coming up to February 19th as in our dates of news here. So,
okay. Which is getting us to where we would have stopped.
Papa Roach singer Jacoby Shattuck celebrates his 12th alcohol-free anniversary. Good for him.
Very cool.
Okay. Wolfgang Van Halen has already done some preliminary work on Mammoth WVH's third album. I think Tarja has been doing shows with Marco, so she says that she has a new relationship with the former Nightwish bandmate Marco Hitala, and they say that life has changed them, so that's cool.
Well, they work together pretty well. Well, voice-wise. Mm-hmm.
Entire show here. We had already talked about Alex Van Halen's autobiography, Brothers, is due in October. Okay. Vogue. Okay. Confirms his departure from Machine Head. Okay. Expendables again.
It's bound to happen sooner or later, he says.
That's what he says. Okay. Biohazard is officially working on a new album. That should be cool.
That should be cool.
Okay. I think we might just be getting close here.
Yep.
Yep, there it is. All right, longtime Helix drummer Greg Fritz passed away. So that is the first thing that we talked about in the last episode. So we have gone through 2 weeks worth of news. Some interesting stuff here, tours and some people leaving bands and a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as many upcoming releases being announced, but unfortunately.
Yeah, that is true. But if I look at the list of upcoming records, which I have pulled up right here, you know, this week we had a pretty good release week. We got Bruce Dickinson, Firewind, Ministry, New Year's Day. Who else released records? Oh, Zach Wilde, his Zach Sabbath cover band has released an album where they do, I think, Paranoid and Masters of Reality together. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty solid. And then if we look at the coming weeks, March 8th, we got Judas Priest, Sonata Arctica, and Exhorter coming out with albums all next week. So that's pretty solid, you know.
Very nice.
We definitely need some more fucking album release news, though.
So, you said you said Zach Wilde came out with an album of covers.
Yeah, Zach Sabbath. I think it's called Doom Forever and Forever Doomed, or backwards the other way. It came out today. I don't think you're gonna be able to find it on Spotify. I did not find it on Spotify.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm searching for it and I can't find it.
Yeah,
because I would listen to that.
Yeah, I was totally stoked because it's like, you know, Black Sabbath tunes with Zach playing guitar on it. So I really would like to hear how that sounds. And I mean, we've always said that his voice is like the older he's gotten, the more his voice has sounded like Ozzy anyway. So it's probably a killer record.
Yeah. Yeah. But did we have any other news besides that?
No, that's it.
All right, so I think we're going to take a moment and take a quick commercial break.
Greetings, metalheads. Dan Mack here, and if you're a fan of putting a little heat on your meals, spice up your life with one of the many hot sauce flavors available from our sponsors at Hella Hot Hot Sauce. All natural, no preservative, and California-made, Hella Hot Hot Sauce provides small-batch artisan hot sauces made from fruit and pepper blends that emphasize aroma, taste, and of course, heat. With several flavors available, some seasonal, others year-round, and collaborations with members of Ghoul, Exhumed, Guar, and Hatebreed, there are plenty of options to suit your palate. Head over to hellahothotsauce.com and buy up a couple bottles now.
All right, and now we're going to go on to a little extra. Usually we start off with a crowdfunding tracker. Do we have anything? Okay, so then we go on to shit I want. Chris, what do you want?
Oh, man. Honestly, at the moment, I am quite content. I mean, we built a library in our house last month. I got my Dune Lego set. Yeah, that's. I mean, I'm pretty solid right now. You know, I still have to get a new set of headphones, but these things are still kicking, so I'm not rushing to do that, especially because I just fucking bought 1,000 bookshelves, and Brandy and I fucking booked ourselves for our vacations this year, so we put a lot of money down on some Airbnbs. I don't think I need anything at the moment as far as buying anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I'm honestly the same right now. I think everything I need I've got. So there's nothing really I'm dying for at this point. Just more consistent work. That's it. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How about a rabbit hole?
Not really. Not much. Nah, yeah. I haven't been down a rabbit hole. I mean, I was pretty much stuck on one thing as far as reading goes, which we'll get to in a minute. That I hadn't been able to fucking expand upon because it took me a whole fucking month to read this book. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay. Okay. Did I do any rabbit hole? Not that I can recall. Nothing has really piqued my interest lately. Anything that's going to be a rabbit hole is probably in for your viewing pleasure. So what about a little light reading?
So I finally finished the book Infinite Jest. It's one of those things that get hyped up pretty hard that had like a really hardcore fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not thoroughly enjoy it. I felt that it was entirely too long, mildly pretentious, needlessly meandering. I did not like it. I gave it 3 stars because I felt it was ballsy for him to release a book of such nature without any kind of resolution. It didn't please me at all. I had no pleasure reading this book. And it took me a whole fucking month, and I'm mildly disappointed by that. But to make up for it, I decided to read a quick novella by Stephen King called Elevation, and which I thought was cute and fun. 150 pages, in and out, read it in fucking 3 hours. Knocked it out. Felt good about myself. Little palate cleanser after Infinite Jest. And immediately went right into The Fall of Numenor by J.R.R. Tolkien. I'm about 20, 25 pages into that, and I'm learning a lot, you know, just kind of revisiting Middle Earth and beyond. So pretty happy about that.
Well done. I have nothing for reading right now. So just still haven't put that time into it. So
yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. But I did actually watch stuff. Well, something.
Let's hear about it.
I watched the original Saw movie. And reminded myself of my appreciation of the movie. So, I'm kind of bummed. Okay, so I'm glad that I didn't give away my copy of the original, the first movie. Separate from the little box that I got, because I bought a thing that has like all 8 movies, but I already had the first one. And the reason I'm happy I didn't sell it is because it has some really funny commentary tracks. So it doesn't come with that on the little box set thingy. So I was like, okay, well, I'm glad I have that because I can go back and listen to that sometime. But the rest of it is just, strictly the movie. I just recalled my appreciation for especially how that first one went. I know they get a little off the wall after a while, but it's like, I like that, but at least the first one was definitely like really solid. So, and then I've been watching a cartoon musical called Hazbin Hotel. I've been seeing it everywhere. So it's one thing that actually seemed interesting enough for me to watch. It's been good. It's pretty funny. I'm 3 episodes in and I like it. There's kind of somewhat of a consensus that you have to kind of get into it before you really appreciate it. So it may not suck you in the first episode. And I can see what they mean by that, but I like the premise. I like the fact that it's kind of a vulgar show, characters are pretty douchey and very, very sexual and weird and it's funny. So, and the music in it is great. So,
yeah. I'm gonna say, because I think I did a quick scan of the charts, and the Hazbin Hotel soundtrack is in the charts. So I'll mention that when we go through that.
Yeah. That's really it. As far as what I've been watching.
Gotcha. All right. So what have I been watching? So, still doing slowly, a little bit slower now. Doctor Who. Brandy's not enjoying it as much as I am. It's a corny show, and that's not normally her thing. So I appreciate her attempting with me. We finished True Detective season 4. We both felt that that was kind of lacking as far as we weren't happy with that. It didn't hit as hard, as good as like the first season of True Detective. So to make up for it, we went ahead and watched season 1 in the weekend, last weekend. We watched the whole fucking thing, which is 8 episodes, fucking Matthew McConaughey and fucking Woody Harrelson just being amazing. Great show. Great season. And of course, last Sunday, Brandy and I went to an early IMAX screening of Dune Part 2. And a lot of the hype around it is well warranted. It's a fucking gorgeous movie. The soundtrack is amazing. The acting is great, except for maybe like, I'm not a fan of Christopher Walken in this movie. I feel that he did not do the character well. The character in the book is old, but he's portrayed as someone being far younger because of the effects of the spice, and they fucking cast Christopher Walken, and like the Emperor is supposed to be some kind of powerful figure, and I never felt power from Christopher Walken at all. So I felt a little bit disappointed by that. They made a lot of changes to the story that ultimately lead you to the same place as at the end of the book for the most part. Some of the changes I enjoyed. I thought they were pretty clever. The only change I did not like is that they kind of condensed the story as far as time-wise. Like in the book, a few years pass before the end of the book. Like, you know, a couple things happen that don't happen in the movie. The movie takes place over the course of a few months. I felt that was a little too rushed. I felt that that part, that change was not the greatest. But the other changes that they made, I felt served. I think that it served the purpose of telling a similar story as the book, in a different way. I also felt that it kind of brought it down to more of an accessibility thing for people who are not familiar with the book, because the book is weird. The book is weird. I mean, we're talking about a fucking planet with fucking giant sandworms on it. I think they kind of took out some of the more weirder things, some of the more complicated aspects of it. And they kind of, I wouldn't say simplify, because I think that's just too demeaning of a word. I think they just made it more accessible. I think they put the bullet points out there to get people interested. And they did leave it kind of on a cliffhanger. So I know that I've read in some places that the director, Denis Villeneuve, is working on the follow-up to Dune Part 2, specifically the second book, which is Dune Messiah. So hopefully he gets to do that. Hopefully it gets greenlit after this weekend, because this is officially opening weekend. I love the movie. If you go online, don't go online if you enjoy living, because every time someone praises the movie, he's like, well, did you read the fucking book? Bunch of fucking crybabies. If you just enjoy fucking seeing a really beautiful movie, go see this fucking movie. If you enjoy Part 1, you're gonna love Dune Part 2. If you hate Dune Part 1, don't bother. That's all I have to say about that. I thought it was fucking great. I'm seeing it again on Sunday with the boys, and Brandy and I are gonna go see it again next week.
Cool.
We love it that much. Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good. I may never see it, but that's fine.
I mean, the thing is, Dune itself is not for everybody. Itself is not for everybody. You know, it's a weird science fiction movie, which is not, you know, geared towards like the masses. But I mean, I've seen a lot of comparisons to like more modern day things. Of course, everyone thinks, oh my god, look, it's just another fucking Star Wars. But like, you know, the source material came out well before Star Wars. People also comparing it to kind of like the style of politics and fucking interpersonal relationships as like Game of Thrones, where there's a lot of betrayal, there's a lot of fucking warring houses under one, like, you know, emperor, or and there's like trade and there's commerce and there's all this other shit. So it's very complicated. It's a complicated story, and you know, to try and do that in two movies totaling 5 hours, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, makes sense. So, but in at least for you, they pulled it off well enough.
I mean, I like I said, I felt the changes were good, to an extent. I felt that nothing took away from the story. I think the main themes were still there. I liked how they played with certain relationships between some of the characters that were completely different than the book, and I think it actually made it a little bit more modern and a little bit less antiquated. So I think that was, I think those were, you know, those woke changes were fucking good. So
okay. Anything else you want to include?
No, that's about it.
All right. So, heavy metal in the charts?
Yeah, let's get to the charts. So we know that heavy metal doesn't really feature in the charts very often. So just so we have things to talk about, we talk about anything that's even rock and roll related. So we're talking like greatest hits, and we kind of like really stretch it out here a little bit. But also we talk about Taylor Swift, because like, who doesn't talk about Taylor Swift? And even if you don't like her, you talk about her. I mean, come on. And Dan also likes to know who the top five are and who Mr. Irrelevant at number 200 is. So Dan, with that in mind, are you ready to go?
Yes.
All right, number one, for the second week in a row, Vultures 1, which is by Kanye West and Ty Dolla $ign.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. Number two is 2093 by Yeet.
Okay.
Number three is One Thing at a Time by Morgan Wallen. Number four is Stick Season by Noah Kahan. And number five is SOS by SZA.
Okay. It sounds like right. Garbage.
Well, let's get right into the good stuff here. At number six and at number seven is Miss Taylor Swift, 1989, Taylor's Version and Lover, respectively. And then right behind her, right behind that, at number nine is Midnights by Miss Taylor Swift. So that's three already in the top 10. All right. Folklore by Miss Taylor Swift is at number 15. Bob Marley, legend, best of Bob Marley and the Wailers, is at number 17. His biopic just came out. William saw it, and he said it was good. It was pretty good. He liked it.
Nice.
The Has-Been Hotel Season 1 soundtrack is at number 19. Reputation by Miss Taylor Swift is at number 21. That's her fifth record. Okay, Speak Now, Taylor's Version is at number 29. That's her sixth. Red, Taylor's Version is at 31. That's her seventh. Evermore, Miss Taylor Swift at number 34. That's her eighth. Okay, Elton John, Diamonds at number 41. Chronicle, the 20 greatest hits of Creedence Clearwater Revival at number 43. Wow.
Right.
That's crazy. Rumors by Fleetwood Mac is at number 46. Queen's greatest hits at number 48. Pretty high up there. I'm liking that. Like the top 50 for those bands there. Good stuff. Good stuff. Taylor Swift, Fearless, Taylor's Version at number 58. That's her ninth record in the top charts. Original OG 1989 by Miss Taylor Swift is at number 65. That is number 10 and her normal number in the top 200. Oh. All before number 70. So now we have nothing to talk about pretty much. No, I'm just kidding. Because here's Journey's Greatest Hits at number 76.
Good.
Now we have nothing to talk about. Best Nickelback at number 83. Okay. Never mind. Nirvana, number 92. Central Michael Jackson, number 93. Beatles, 1962 to 1966, at number 95. Michael Jackson, Thriller, number 101. Mm-mm-mm. Here we go. Now we're getting there. Guns N' Roses, 115. Greatest Hits.
All right.
Greatest Hits. Greatest Hits of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers at number 125. Greatest Hits of the Foo Fighters at number 126. Essential Billy Joel is at number 131. All Time Greatest Hits by Lynyrd Skynyrd is at number 134. Linkin Park Hybrid Theory at number 142. Aerosmith Greatest Hits at number 145. Beatles 1967 to 1970 at number 150. Okay. Eagles' Greatest Hits, 165. Greatest Hits of Blink-182, 166. Greatest Hits of Bon Jovi, 168. Greatest Hits of Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band, 169. Elvis Presley, number one hits, 177. Creed's Greatest Hits at number 183. A re-entry, something we haven't talked about in a minute. Hot Rocks, 1964 to 1971 by the Rolling Stones. Re-entry, number 185, yeah. Apparently Fall Out Boy has a Greatest Hits record. What? Greatest Hits of Fleetwood Mac at number 189. Metallica Black Album, number 192. Back in Black, AC/DC, re-entry at number 198. Welcome back, boys. And at number 200, Mr. Irrelevant, NLE Choppa. And I have no idea who that is, but their album is called Cottonwood 2.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Nothing, well...
Nothing really surprising.
Nothing crazy out of the ordinary, but you know, it's always fun to see how it mixes up every week. So
for sure.
Yeah. But I think that's where we'll make our curtain call, because Warrior needs food and Wizard needs sleep.
Yeah, so, I hear you. Same.
Yeah. So until next time, I am Dan Mack.
And I'm Chris Mack.
And we are the Slaughter.